Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Savner du et fleksibelt regnskapsprogram som gir deg alltid ett system, og så forenkler regnskapet? Med Triplex får du smarte og intuitive løsninger slik at du kan jobbe hvor som helst, når som helst. Også via appen som lar deg føre timer uansett hvor du Se for deg at du for sen med å levere utlegg og at kvitteringene hoper seg opp. Med appen fra Triplex kan du ta bilde av kvitteringen og sende den inn til godkjenning med en gang. Appen scanner bildet og fyller ut sum, kostnadskategori og data for deg. Helt automatisk. Dessuten trenger du hverken å grue deg til årsoppgjør eller bruke unødvendig tid på å punche ting flere ganger. Med TripleX får du en helt annen kontroll, og du kan enkelt koble til og få oversikt over andre systemer som kassasystem eller nettbutikk. Hvis du nysgjerrig på om TripleX passer for deg, kan du prøve gratis I 14 dager på tripletex.no.
Ja, da har vi med oss Nadia Martin Wiggen I Pareto Securities. Welcome.
Thank you.
The oil price is now a little lower than 59, down on $58. Mm-hmm. What's driving the market right now?
Demand concerns, and demand concerns especially around 2020. So last year we had demand concerns that hit in October, as we saw that continued through year end. And then by the first quarter, the market had calmed down, and we did expect to see demand growth over the course of this year. Now again, the market sees that there is strong demand now still for oil in particular in the third quarter. We see stocks drawing. However, for next year, we are very concerned that actually demand growth will not grow, will not make up for all the additional supply we see coming into the market.
Yeah, it looks like we have a oversupply.
Yes, in 2020.
Not now?
In this exact quarter, this third quarter, actually we see the market as tightening because we have Saudi Arabia overcutting. Saudi Arabia has cut 1 million barrels per day since the cuts were agreed, at an additional 700,000 barrels per day, more than they are required to by the agreement. And we haven't had as much growth in the U.S. as we see continuing through year end. So the U.S. has grown some, but we actually see that steepening into the fourth quarter because the price was as strong as it was during the first quarter. So, you know, when we were in December looking at how things would be in 2019, we saw a lot of price pressure and that potentially the market could be trading, you know, in around $56 Brent. And that would then put WTI, the U.S. marker, below $50. And then that would shut in a lot of the U.S. shale activity. The market, however, traded much stronger already in the first quarter, continued to strengthen in the second quarter. And that led to a lot of U.S. production activity that will only, even though we've had recently declining rig counts, that will only result in oil visible in the market by year end. So a lot of wells have been drilled, but they haven't been completed. So we don't see the oil yet. And then we have exports expected to continue growing out of the U.S. So on that side of the supply picture, things look very bad, even though Saudi Arabia is really trying to satisfy the market and show that there is not an oversupply. On the demand concerns, of course, we have had some very negative data, especially out of Germany most recently, and that worries us, especially when we look at car production. Globally, we actually had expected car production at Pareto to increase the second half of this year after a pretty flat first half. However, now we believe that it's more likely to be around 4% lower car production year on year globally, which means we're having a second negative year of car production.
In what way does this affect?
So when we have less car production, it's because there is a view that there is less car demand, right? Mm-hmm. Consumers are not buying cars. And then a huge part of oil demand is, of course, transportation. and diesel and gasoline cars, although even electric car sales are down in China. So Chinese car sales are expected to be down around 10% this year, year on year. Mm. And so that is a much worse outlook than how things looked at the start of this year. Why is this happening? This is, of course, the result of the ongoing trade war between the U.S. and China, and the U.S. having all these tariffs with numerous other trading partners. And this is where we really see the impact on the manufacturing sector firsthand in Germany. And that is playing out into other countries. In addition, whereas we still see demand growth in China, they have a lot of new refineries coming online. We think they will continue to be a producer and an importer of crude oil in huge amounts. Maybe not from the U.S. if this trade war continues, but we see some of the trading partners of China really suffering. For example, South Korea. South Korea has shown year-on-year demand growth contraction year-to-date for oil. And they are normally a very developed economy. When oil prices are lower, we normally expect to see a jump in demand in oil in South Korea, and we haven't actually seen that yet. So these are worrying signs for us in terms of the oil demand outlook.
Mm. OPEC and OPEC Plus, they have limited the production.
Yes.
But now we're going into late 2019 and 2020. How much more do they have to cut to stabilize the oil price?
I think if they maintain their cuts as they are now through the end of the year, we still see stocks drawing through the end of the year. This quarter, we think they're drawing 600,000 barrels per day, which is quite a large amount. So if Saudi Arabia were to maintain production at around 9.65 million barrels per day, then we would see things drawing. However, next year, we have a lot of growth coming, specifically from Norway, Johan Sverdrup. Mm. We see Norway production rising 500,000 barrels per day year on year next year. We also have Brazil rising offshore, 440,000 barrels per day year on year. And then the U.S. is still likely to continue growing if we do not have enough of a price correction during this year or the start of next year to prevent having additional growth. So this is where in the first half of the year, there can definitely be some pressure to extend the cuts further, especially in the first quarter. Because in the first quarter, we normally have refiners entering refinery maintenance. And although we have IMO 2020, coming online with the International Maritime Organization, which should increase demand for distillate for diesel. During that first quarter, when we have some seasonal maintenance, we might see some barrels of oil that don't have buyers if Saudi Arabia and OPEC Plus do not actually extend the cuts further. But to give perspective, you know, we're currently at around 100,000 barrels per day. Oil demand is what we see this quarter. Mm-hmm. For next year, the forecasts, depending on if we look at consensus, it's around 1 million to 1.3 million barrels per day year-on-year growth. From our perspective, IMO 2020 is providing almost 1 million barrels per day of that additional demand growth. So if we didn't have IMO 2020, the situation would be even tougher than it is. And why do we get all of that additional demand growth? It's because we need to create all of this distillate all of a sudden that in the past we have not had that much demand for. Mm. And so we have a lot of new refineries coming online to help prepare for that. And that will also lead to building stocks in this fourth quarter now. So although we will probably see stocks building in products in the fourth quarter, we do not think that is so problematic because of the additional demand we will see in the start of next year. However, as we get that ramp up in production from Norway, from Brazil, from the U.S.
potentially, at least.
Yes, exactly. Then we start to have a tapered off effect of this additional diesel demand, and then we start to have some problems.
Yeah, I see they expect the U.S. to maybe tip over 30 million barrels a day next year?
Well, we see that this year.
We will see that this year?
Yes, yeah. That is our house view, unless the oil price really comes down. It doesn't have to come down that much further. Where, as you said, at $58, we currently have WTI at around $54, $55. So just six more dollars on WTI. And then we can start to have some real slowdown in the U.S.
$6 down?
Yes.
Around 48?
Yes.
The oil price, what do you see will be the oil price going through the fall and into 2020?
Well, we are in the process of revising our oil price outlook for the short term. Our previous target that we put out last December had been for this upward trajectory from $56 first quarter to $70 second quarter to $80 third quarter. Now, this third quarter, that is clearly...
You were spot on first quarter and second quarter.
And then the third quarter has run into serious headwinds. And this is our biggest problem, is that we do see a lot of demand for oil right now by refiners that have come online, that have had outages. There have been some environmental regulations coming into place in India. So we had limited car sales in the second quarter. Now we expect those buyers to come back to the market and buy a car, and then you drive the car, and that means vehicle miles and actual demand. So there have been some temporary hiccups. However, because the world is so concerned about demand and GDP growth fears on a global level, we believe that puts a limit on how high oil prices can go, because then we will get an even stronger reaction of what we had last year when the market was very concerned that, it can't tolerate such high oil prices. Mm-hmm. And initially, when we set the $80 target, that was what we felt the market could handle. But instead of having the U.S.-China trade war de-escalate, it's actually escalated. Mm. We do see central banks stepping in, cutting interest rates, whereas India was raising them last year. Now they're cutting them. The U.S., whereas they were raising them, are cutting them. But of course, it takes time for this to affect the economies and really help the consumer. So we see that, this price will need to be lowered. And for next year, we had initially said $78 as an average price. And this is where, as these recessionary fears rise to the forefront of investors' minds, even if we don't have a recession come to the forefront, it definitely limits how much oil prices can rise, even if everyone is trying to buy everything that's available.
So this is what you're putting into your model right now?
Yes. Well, that is part of...
What do you think will come out?
Part of...
when you hit return.
Well, it's... We're looking at several scenarios because, of course, if there's the de-escalation of the China-U.S. trade war, and then China starts buying oil again, then that can raise prices very quickly, $10. If, on the other hand, we start to see that the stimulus in China really isn't working and China is not willing to do more about it, then we see downside even from where we are now. Not that much downside, because we are starting to get as low as break-even prices and when activity needs to be halted in the U.S. So there's, from our perspective, there's more potential upside than downside, given where the price is already now. So
even if there's spare capacity and
yes, even though there is spare capacity, we think the spare capacity will come into play if we have a sudden closing of the Strait of Hormuz, for example, before Saudi Arabia has completed building pipelines westward, where they're planning to be able to export 5 million barrels per day, and then the Strait of Hormuz problem becomes a non-problem. Well, it's still a problem
How long will it take to do this?
Well, they're hoping to do it in 6 months. We'll see if that's possible. But our viewpoint as well is, even if we had that closure of the strait, is it would be a very temporary situation. It's the most practiced U.S. military exercise, I think, by the Navy. So it's all eyes are on that area to make sure it's not clogged up. So I think our view at Pareto is it would still be only a temporary concern. But it's more for things like that spare capacity would come into play. We're, of course, now in hurricane season still in the U.S. So if we had a hurricane really hit, the U.S. Gulf Coast and hit the platforms more seriously than we saw with Barry, then, of course, that could be another situation where the spare capacity could actually come into play. But, you know, OPEC Plus really wants a stable oil price. And in addition, they would prefer, we believe, a higher oil price. So they're not going to flood the market as they did last year, especially when they miscalculated how much demand had slowed versus their expectations. So they will be much, much more careful this year.
Is there any risk for Iranian oil to come back into the market?
Well, we believe there is still some oil coming into the market. Probably 500,000 barrels per day is still getting exported, especially to China. This, again, U.S.-China trade relations are important. In terms of a comeback closer to 1.5-2 million barrels per day, no, we do not see that as a short-term risk.
Do you think China could sneak out some more oil from Iran?
Well, they could sneak out a bit more, maybe 200,000 barrels per day, but not enough to tip the balance. So that right now we expect stocks to be drawing around 600,000 barrels per day. So we don't see them increasing imports by that level.
So what's your range for the oil price? You don't have to be spot on. What's your range for, let's say, into 2020?
Into 2020? Wow. Into meaning before 2020 or through 2020? How high?
Into 2020. Fall 2019 and into 2020. First quarter, second quarter.
In second quarter, we really see a lot of strong demand coming for oil. So if,
taking that the recession is no longer
but it's also because of what we expect in terms of tanker traffic and IMO 2020.
Okay.
And we had zero growth in India, for example, this year. So the likelihood we will have again zero growth is very low. So that's why the second quarter, actually, which came out much worse than expectations, will probably be quite strong next year. So that would probably dictate the high point. Of course, it will depend on how the GDP outlooks are by then. A lot has to change in between now. But I think we do see that the market should strengthen from where it is now over the course of that period. And probably in the second quarter, if we have a good GDP global development, be a high. And if we actually had oil prices drop lower, as I discussed earlier with you, we could actually have an already stronger first and second quarter because we would have that supply response from the U.S. So we would have that shortfall. Now, Johan Sverdrup is starting already in November, so Norwegian production will be coming online. But it's really the U.S. production that the market is less used to and is still under-anticipating. And this is where, when we had the higher first quarter price for this year, we had to lower than our fourth quarter price forecast because that is the lag in terms of the response. And when the market suddenly sees 600,000 barrels per day of additional oil up from the U.S. than they expected, that creates the shock to send down prices. And this is where we get a bit worried because, again, the market is saying, oh, you know, the U.S. is slowing down because rig counts are coming down. We had some hurricane outages with Barry. So that makes the numbers look lower, but we're still going to see them rise. So that creates a ceiling, whereas we do see increased refining activity, and China will probably increase buying at these prices. So those are
exciting
the
times.
Yes.
Thank you, Nadia, for being with us again.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Økonominyhetene er en podcast fra Finansavisen. Programledere Marius Lorentzen, Stein Ove Haugen og Benedikte Storm Bamvik. Produsenter Lars Brenden Skram og Bashar Johar. Og ansvarlig redaktør Trygve Hegnar.